Welcome to Foxcast number 4. I'm Sonny Fox, and this week, one of my favorites. I consider this woman probably the funniest female comic in America today. Of course, that's just my opinion, but we'll find out if you agree. It's Kathleen Madigan. You're going to have a good time with this one. She stopped by to do the show rather early in the morning.
Good morning, dear.
Good morning.
Listen, she's really ad-libbing today.
That sounded energetic, didn't it?
Sure it did. Of course it did. If we want to plug KathleenMadigan.com many times today, correct?
Yes.
And what's the real reason, Kathleen? Merchandising, upcoming events, your new movie?
Well, mostly the road dates, because I want people to come out and see the show.
Of course.
That's mostly the reason.
Although we are
opening a merch store on there soon. It may be open. I don't know. I don't like to go on my own website. I find it to be creepy. Twitter. I play on Twitter a lot, though. I look at that.
That's interesting, isn't it? A lot of artists like that, because they could just put out random thoughts and don't have to respond or if they don't want to.
And just it's not people. As complicated as like Facebook. You got to log in and all the hoop to ha, and I don't know. Facebook's too overwhelming. There's too many people that want to know things, and then I have to answer them, and I can't. Twitter's just faster and easier. Plus, I think everybody should be able to sum up anything you have to say in 140 characters.
You're absolutely right. And I just realized as you were describing that Twitter has basically given us the opportunity to communicate with people without talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even better. Right.
And do you often regret? Have you done midnight drunken Twitters?
No, I'm very good about that. And yeah. I always think at some point, everybody at some point seems to tweet something and then they close their account. Whether it's Ashton Kutcher or all of them. What's his face?
Alec Baldwin. Right.
Yeah, because then they just like slap themselves. They're like, that was the stupidest thing I've ever done. And then they just close the account. But they're going to miss it. I mean, you screwed up one time. That's not enough to. I wouldn't quit. I think it's too tempting, though, when you're emotional to just, tweet something that could get you in trouble. You know, so, no, I don't tweet if I've been drinking, and I don't tweet if I'm angry.
Well,
and I don't put real thoughts about the business on there, too, because sometimes I'm tempted to do that, but I don't.
You don't tweet like, when you're angry or drinking?
No. Like, I'll see a sitcom where I just think it's horrible, but I won't tweet that. Try to keep it positive.
Well, my problem is misspelling things. I mean, Twitter have a spell check?
No, but that's the greatest thing about it, because you're abbreviating everything. So if somebody says you misspelled it, you just go, no, I did that on purpose. I was out of characters.
Right.
Well, some comedians.
It's the perfect thing for bad spellers, because I can just type it however I want, because I can't spell. And then it just looks like I did that on purpose. But
if they
I really
say there was supposed
didn't.
To be an R in there, you just say, no, I didn't have room for it.
Right, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Plus, if you're abbreviating everything and they don't know what you said because you screwed up, you go, oh, you make them feel as though they're not hip enough to know what the logos are, the lingo.
Right. And why people go on a comedian site and then send me things like, you spelled that wrong. What are you, my teacher in third grade? Like, this is supposed to be fun. I don't need angry people telling me I can't spell it.
Like, and this is a good heat. I'm not into the desert heat. My one brother lived in Phoenix for a while. I don't get the desert. He loved it. Isn't the desert beautiful? I'm like, maybe when they finish it. No. It's retarded. You're not supposed to be living there. It's too hot. God, crazy weather. I was in Washington, D.C. They had a blizzard, like the biggest blizzard ever. I left the club. It was like a show like this. We stay, we drink. I go home at 2 in the morning. There's 8 inches of snow. Whatever, I'm from the Midwest. That doesn't freak me out. I woke up Sunday morning, 27.5 inches of snow. And it's still snowing. I'm like, that's over half my body height. I got to get the fuck out of here. That's critical. I tried to go outside to like go walk somewhere out of the hotel. I looked like a beagle someone had thrown off a porch. There was no forward motion. I just kept going. I'm like, all right, I have to go back in. I can't even go forward. Took 2 days to leave the hotel. And then when I finally got out, the only people that were out walking around working, I swear to God, were the crack whores of D.C. And I thought, see, they don't get enough respect, because that is a very, very hard job. I would be the worst crack whore in the cold ever. I'd be like, it's free. Just let me in the truck. I am so cold. I don't even want crack anymore. I want hot chocolate. I'm now a hot chocolate whore. weather that's just been killing people. And that's why if you're going to study weather, you should be a seismologist, because that is the easiest weather job. I've decided whatever job anybody in this room has, unless you're a seismologist, our jobs aren't easy enough. Because a seismologist, easiest job in the entire world. Why? You don't have to predict anything. All you got to do is confirm it. Every time there's an earthquake, let's go live to UCLA Seismology Center. Hey, you guys, was there a big earthquake? Wow. Yeah. Whoa. We were like holding on, hiding under the desk. It was crazy. Is there going to be another one? Probably. I'd say a few more little ones. Yeah. We'll be right here, though, if you want to come back for the live feed. I don't even know why that's a job. I mean, until you can predict it, what the hell is the point? Too much education for no reason. And I went to college. I'm not bragging. I went to a community college. I don't brag, but a lot of people don't know this. I went, and I found this out. A lot of people don't know this. If you go to a community college long enough, after a while, they let you be the teacher. I just read, too, that they're not going to make they're seriously considering not making kids take the SAT test anymore to get into college. And I'm like, you know what? That is bullshit. Because if I had to pay $68 to prove I was retarded and kill the dream, isn't that what that test is really all about? Somebody's finally going to tell you the truth. You know, I'm going to be a doctor. No, no, you're not. We got your test scores back. You're going to tell jokes with Kathleen in Group B. The South. I like the South, the weather. I like the people in the South. I love that Southern accent. I think it's absolutely hilarious. Unless you're in a hurry, then it's not hilarious at all. Well, honey, can I help you? Like, Christ, you could talk faster. I got three things to do today. It's 4 o'clock. I seriously think that's why the South lost the Civil War. I don't think they could communicate quickly enough. And war is a snappy event. They got some scout coming over the hill going, I think them Yankees are fixing to come. Ow, ow. Ow. Shit. And the Southern people, they do have more state pride. I'll give them that. Like, people in Texas, forget about it. I have cousins that, see, they're, I'm telling you, it's crazy. I have cousins that live there in this tiny crap hole of a town. I said to my one cousin, she's 24 years old, I go, Mary, you ever think about leaving? This was her honest to God's answer. She goes, well, where would I go? You're right, you should stay. There's a map, throw a dart, something. It's just that accent. Old George W. got that accent, something. What's bizarre to me, though, is no one else in his family has an accent. Just him. Have you ever heard Jeb Bush speak? Nothing. Mr. and Mrs. Bush, no accent. Neil Bush, it's just George. And he's like, well, I lived in Texas for a long time. That's what I talk like. I'm like, whatever. I've lived in Los Angeles for 16 years. I don't go home to St. Louis at Thanksgiving and go, hey, got someone please pass me the mashed potatoes? That was my best Mexican accent. Thank you very much. It's horrible, I know. I don't speak Spanish. My friends that were born and raised in California, they're like, how did you not learn Spanish? I'm like, because I'm from the Midwest. We did not get the memo that the Mexicans were a-coming. We had no idea. The state of Missouri had two Spanish-speaking people, and they were teachers. That was it. I took French, for God's sake. 5 years of it, in case a group of tourists from Quebec would come. I could greet them at the Missouri border. God. And my dad made my brothers take Latin. My one brother became like the best kid in Missouri at Latin, and I'm like, well, that's very, very practical. In the event that the Pope would call, you and him could have a full-blown conversation.
I didn't ask you last break. How did you survive the cruise? I mean, what's the review?
Yeah, the comedy cruise is always fun, but this year, because we were in 22-foot swells, like I was vomiting right before I went on stage, and it was like being driven around by a raging alcoholic father, but no one can say anything that dad's hammered. Because you could see on the ship map, we're heading straight into a hurricane, and the guy just keeps driving, and, you know, or whatever you do with a ship. But, you know, in the announcements, because they're all Swedes and Norwegians, he's right. Like the great minimum. Like a drunk would do. Well, you know, it's going to get a bit topsy-turvy. Dude, these are hurricane force winds. And I mean, we had a blast because the other comedians are all fun and it was a good time. And I think the people that paid to come had a good time. But when it gets that bad, and then I always take the pills too late. You know, I take the Dramine, it doesn't work. They're like, well, you're supposed to take it when you got on the ship. Well, I didn't feel sick then. I didn't think about it. And then I just took a pill out of some lady's purse. I was like vomiting, and this lady goes, here, take this, and I just ate it. And then I thought, I don't even know that lady. Like, I just trusted her because she's a Lewis Black fan. That's kind of stupid.
Right.
God knows what I ate, but it worked, whatever it was.
Well, we were popping Dramamine like the old days. You know,
yeah.
It was like, I like your blog. You called the captain a raging Norwegian alcoholic. What was his name? I forgot.
I really don't know. I don't know. He came down to bingo, I think, when I was hosting bingo. They said, oh, that's the captain. And I thought, yeah, why do we have to leave? We could have just sailed around Miami. There was no reason to go to that. Like, I don't know if they already have pre-map things out and you have to go. And then when we got to St. Thomas, it was pouring down rain. But you would have thought that there were volcanoes erupting on the island the way they were warning us when we got off the boat. It's raining! It's rain! I know! It's just water. It's going to be okay, really. Like, they didn't want us to get off of the ship. Well, the longer I stay on the ship, the more I'm going to drink. I need to get off of the ship to have an activity other than going to the Sky Bar and having vodka at 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah, right. That rain. In the first pour, was it you or one of the comedians on stage said it was raining like the night Jesus died, like in the movie? You know?
It was probably Greg Proops. That would be something that it's too smart to run through my head, but it probably ran through Proops' head.
Well, is Lewis going to have another one, or don't you know?
I don't know what the deal is. Probably. I could, but I told him, why are we booking these during hurricane season?
Right.
Why are we here in November when there's football on and we're in a hurricane? I don't understand what's going on.
You're a practical lady. I like you. By the way,
find a bad month. Nothing goes on in February. Everyone wants to get somewhere warm in February.
That's for sure.
So,
But who do you think, by the way, one more thing about the cruise, who do you think stole the show, in your opinion? Other than yourself.
And other than Lou, you can't count Lou because he has to go up every night. Proops, I think. But I love him. I think he's one of the most underrated, under everything comedians that walks the face of the earth. I really do.
Well,
I think he's extremely bright, which doesn't make you funny, but he is funny and then super bright. I mean, I have to go look things up after I see his act. I have to like Google things, and like he was talking about paintings and naming all these world famous paintings. I don't think I knew any of them. And I'm like, is he making that up or are those real? But it was funny. Even I get it, and I don't even know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it funny sometimes you laugh at things even though you're not quite sure why? You know what I mean?
I trust him, though. I know he's right. I will give my brain to him for an hour and let him do whatever he wants to it.
Well, he sat down. He said they were going to record his blog, his podcast, rather, for an hour. I thought, oh, great, an hour. And by about 30 minutes into it, I couldn't believe how he was just on a roll constantly, ad libbing.
I know. And it was all about that trip. So it's not like he had this written weeks ago. I mean, he wrote it in his room, I guess. Yeah. That's a lot of work, too. I don't know that I would sign up for that much work. I don't know if I would be capable of it, but I certainly wouldn't volunteer for it either.
Well,
unless Lewis was paying me a lot more.
Because
you want brand new stuff, you got to pay a lot more than that, Lou.
Yeah, the oldies catalog goes for a little less, right?
Yeah.
Four more years of George W. You know what I'm happy about, though, is that it's four more years of getting to watch him give speeches. And I like it when he gives a speech that's not prepared, where he just speaks freely, because he'll always take the time to explain stuff to us the way they explained it to him.
Yeah.
And you can always tell when one's coming because he'll go, in other words, but it's about stuff that didn't need other words. Like, we all got it the first time. He'll keep going, though. Osama bin Laden's still hiding in a cave, people. In other words, the man's playing peekaboo. It's even better, though, when he has to give a speech that they've prepared for him. Because when he has to give it, you don't know which George is coming. Because there's two Georges. There's that cocky, confident, lean on the podium in your face George. And then there's super serious George, where you know they had a talk with him. They took him in some back room and they're like, focus, at the bunny. Come on, this one's for real tonight. No giggling, no none of that crap. You're going to go out there, and for 18 straight minutes, you're going to act like an adult. In other words, a big boy. It's amazing, because if you leave this country, people can't believe he's our president. There's a comedy festival in Ireland every year. Like, 20 of us go. Every single Irish person would just come right up to us. Can you believe George Bush is your president? Yeah, ma'am, I can believe it. I go, you know who can't believe it? Jeb Bush. You know he's shoving pencils in his eyes going, how the fuck did this happen? I'm the smart one. It's John Kerry's fault, though. The guy has no personality. I just kept waiting for him to come out and go, I would like to apologize for speaking like a man from the 15th century. I am actually a time traveler. This is my freaky wife in charge of all ketchup. She was freaky. There's just no other way. I mean, I like politics. I was rooting for the guy, but she was just way too weird. And if I thought she was weird, you know Joe Kreider Redneck was just sitting at home with a six-pack looking at TV going, what the fuck? They said she's African. She ain't even black, for shit's sake. How'd she get all the ketchup anyway? I find that suspicious. God. The war in Iraq. If you read the paper every single day, they go, we're out of, like, Hummers. We don't have any Hummers. And I'm like, no, we are not out. There are 9 million in Los Angeles. You tell every one of these rich bastards, if you bought a Hummer, you got to go to Iraq. You know how fun that would be to watch on the nightly news? Some 55-year-old rich L.A. housewife driving around Baghdad. I had no idea that just because I purchased this, I would be a soldier. It's ridiculous. Why are they so angry? God almighty. John Kerry. If you're John Kerry and you don't have a personality, pick one, for Christ's sake. George Bush picked Yosemite Sam. People love it. Can't get enough of it. Varmints, critters, smoke them out.
Kathleen Madigan is our guest. This past Christmas, a few weeks ago, did you go back and to spend Christmas with your family in St. Louis?
No, my parents retired in the Ozarks. They're crazy people. Yeah, it's like there's like hillbillies and Amish people, and then my parents driving around in a Cadillac.
Yeah, does it make them feel smarter when they live in that area or what?
They just want to get out of like traffic and I don't know. They just drive around in that giant Cadillac, which made me think when I was watching one of the Republican debates, they were like, every single Republican, with the exception of Newt Gingrich, said we should send all 11 million illegal Mexicans back to Mexico. But nobody ever says how. Like, physically, how are you going to go about that? And then I thought, my parents love to drive, and they have a giant Cadillac. And they like cheap medication from Mexico without a prescription. So if we got every retired person and gave them a Cadillac and put five Mexicans in the back of theirs, and I guarantee you, if they spent 24 hours in the backseat of my parents' car, they would not return to this country. That would be payment and penalty enough for sneaking across the border. Because when we went on the cruise, my mom gave me this list of of drugs I was supposed to purchase somewhere. I don't know how that was supposed to happen. It didn't happen. I guess she thought in St. Thomas all of this would be just available, and if it was, I couldn't find it.
What's your childhood memories of Christmas back in St. Louis? Tell us a little about Kathleen's memories of the Christmas tree and all that.
My favorite ones were my dad having, like, I don't know, maybe 6 to 25 highballs and then trying to put toys together. And all you would hear is like cussing, damn it, these instructions are not right. Well, they probably are right if you hadn't had 75 drinks, Dad. You know, because on Christmas morning, everything would be kind of put together. Like there'd be a new bike and you'd be all excited, don't ride that yet. I've got a few things to straighten out on that. They're like, the wheels are in the wrong spot. And you're like, wow. Okay.
Don't ride that yet.
I had an aunt who worked at Ralston Purina, and the Ralston Purina headquarters is in St. Louis, and they have this, I don't know why, this dog farm. Maybe the dogs are for commercials, but as a perk, we could get free brain-damaged Irish and English setters from my aunt. So one Christmas, my favorite Christmas ever, I got an Irish setter. It wasn't, there was something wrong with it. They were all off. They were like irregular or something. I don't know, they had tattoos in their ears. It was very strange, but it was a great present. I was very excited to get Rusty.
Rusty.
Rusty, the brain-damaged Irish setter. Merry Christmas, kids. It was free. What are you gonna, it looked normal. It looked like a regular Irish setter,
right.
But there was something wrong with them, all of them. And the English setters were terribly mean. Like, I mean, literally, like, they would just bite the living crap out of the Irish setters. The Irish setters are too stupid to respond.
Was the dog under the tree?
Yeah, he was in a box. It was great. My dad was always great. My parents were great with Christmas. Even when we didn't have any money, I don't know where he got the money, but we always had awesome presents. And yeah, my sister got a horse one year. It was in the basement.
Yeah, you got an Irish
pony.
Setter.
Yeah. I got a brain damage Irish setter free from Ralston
Purina.
Yeah,
did your dad run out and say, don't touch that dog, Eddie? He was dead in shots.
that box isn't ready. Don't touch the box with the dog in it.
Kathleen Madigan's with us. I wanted to ask you, Kathleen, what was the one toy when you grew up that you wanted most of all? That you just, you know, dropping hints to your folks, and it was just
a
you
toy?
Had to have it. Yeah.
Or
a dog. I don't know. No, a toy.
I think it was the dog. Yeah.
Really?
But if I had to pick a toy.
Something you saw on TV and you had to have it, you know, commercial.
Well, I did really want a skateboard one year, and I got a watch, and then I got on the skateboard and decided I could conquer this, like, 900-foot hill, completely crashed, wrecked the watch and the skateboard, and broke my right wrist.
I was going to say, were you
so
all right?
So I did get the green skateboard I wanted, but maybe the wheels weren't on right now that I think about it.
Yeah, your dad don't break that skateboard yet.
Yeah.
Well, what about a toy you never got? You really, really wanted, and Santa just never delivered. Has that ever happened?
Oh, I wanted it. We all me and my brothers and my younger sister, we wanted an air hockey table. That never arrived. Santa did not come through with the air hockey table or a foosball table, too. Apparently, we wanted to turn the basement into a 70s bar, and my parents were not playing along with our ideas of what the basement would look like. I think it was too big or something. My dad was just vetoed the whole idea. But yes, I probably to this day, if I really had a giant mansion, would have an air hockey table in it.
Do you remember your favorite TV commercial for a toy commercial on television that fascinated you?
I don't. No, I don't. I don't even remember toys like being advertised. Really, did they? I mean, maybe on cartoons or something. Maybe during cartoons. I don't. No, I never saw. I don't think I got my ideas from TV. I think I was in bars a lot, and whatever I saw in bars
foosball.
With my parents.
Did you ask for a dartboard one night?
Yeah, dartboard. Yeah, we had that in the basement. Basically, I turned the basement into a bar as much as I was allowed to.
Do you have a picture, or do your folks have a picture of you on Santa's lap? Did they take you down that ritual, set you on Santa?
No. There were seven of us. My mother was not doing that. No. We have home movies of Christmas morning, because my dad was big with one of those big old cameras with the big light. And then I remember the Christmas where he put the light on the footstool, and it just burnt. It started like a house fire. It burnt the footstool because it just, that light is so hot.
Right.
It just immediately went through the foam and the thing. And Jesus Christ, I ruined Christmas. And my sister is the gatekeeper of all Christmas. To her, Christmas is the most important day of the year, and we were all supposed to be at my parents' house at 10. This was like 2 years ago.
Now, wait a minute. Let me stop you a second. Is this a sister that you convinced there was a roller coaster on the The arch? Right.
Yeah, that one.
The gullible
right?
sister. Okay, go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, very gullible. Right. And I did not arrive at my parents' house until 10:20. And that is now referred to as when I ruined Christmas. And I'm like, you know, I go, no, I was 20 minutes late. Ruining Christmas would have been if I'd have walked in the house with a 12-gauge shotgun and shot Mom and Dad in the face. That would definitely, for the rest of your life, you'd be like, remember when Kathleen freaked out and shot Mom and Dad in the face? That would be ruining Christmas. Being 20 minutes late when we're just going to be there all day just hanging out doing nothing. Why? There's no time. It's not like the kids were waiting. It's just her idea of what should happen. Right. Then it has to happen that way, or I ruin Christmas.
Now, when she was younger, did you play tricks on her about Santa Claus, about being real and all that? Did you have some fun with
no,
her?
No, I was good yeah. about that. Yeah. I let them believe till they were, you know, smart enough to figure it out. No, I didn't. I didn't screw around with that. I don't think. I hate it when older siblings bust that for kids. Like, let them. There's so few things that you can actually believe in. Especially the older you get and you start looking backwards going, everything sucks, blah, blah, blah. Like, Santa's the last cool thing. Like, no, as a matter of fact, I kept trying to make them believe even when they didn't.
Well, yeah. When did you, we did a show about this a couple weeks ago. And I was surprised at the reaction on the phones. But do you remember when you first realized Santa wasn't real?
I don't remember when I figured it out, but I do remember thinking he was real because on the radio, the DJs would say they had reports of him like flying over wherever, Ohio and stuff. I believed all that. But then I would say to my dad, I'm like, well, this logically does not make sense. The Libra logical part of me could not. I don't think I ever really 100% believed because logically it just couldn't happen. I'm like, he can't be in China. And then here, there's no planes that go that fast. I don't care how fast his sled is. It doesn't work out. Nothing. It just didn't jive with me. I couldn't do the math right.
You must have had a great time with the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, none of that made sense either, but I liked the uniform. My skirt was really cute, so I didn't have a problem with it.
I like to watch the news. My sister won't watch it. All it is, it's all bad, it's all sad. I'm like, that's not true. Sometimes there's really good stories, like some unbelievable things. On CNN, like 3 months ago, they had a whole story about a guy who woke up out of a 12-year coma. I was like, what a miracle. His family did not turn his ass off. My family? My family would put up with that scenario for about a week and a half. Then they'd start bitching about whose turn it was to visit me.
Well, she's not even paying attention. It's stupid.
I'm sure they'll call if she wakes up. I just went home and saw my parents. My parents are very nice. They're fun. They're nice. And they live in the middle of Missouri now, 3.5 hours away from either the St. Louis or the Kansas City airport. So either one, if I fly into, they'll come and get me, which is very nice. 3.5 hours in the backseat of your parents' car. Wow. Thank God they have OnStar because I just keep calling that lady. Hello, ma'am. I'm in the car with my parents. Is there an emergency? I'll repeat, lady. I am in the car with my parents. Could you please send a larger Cadillac with more right-wing AM radio? My liberal Ted Kennedy father hasn't had a stroke yet. If we could play more Sean Hannity, I could watch that vein pop out of the side of his head. My parents read in Time magazine that rural Missouri has more crystal meth labs than any state in the United States, so now they think everything they pass is a crystal meth lab. So for 3.5 hours, that's all I hear in the car. It's a crystal meth lab right over there. Your mother and I decided that's definitely a crystal meth lab. Like, Dad, that's a Gap outlet. I don't buy it. I saw Rottweiler tied up out there. I definitely think it's crystal meth lab. They have all this land, and there's a cabin on it, like from the early 1900s. It's just wasting away. There's no electricity, no running water. And every time they raise a terrorist alert, my mom will call and go, if anything happens, we're all meeting at the cabin. I'm like, Mom, I would rather have a nuclear bomb shoved directly up my ass than try to live out the end of the world with you and Dad in a cabin.
Oh,
he can't hear. And, you know, you want to feel bad for people that can't hear, but the hearing aid thing is really annoying, because if you ever live with somebody with hearing aids, when the battery goes out, you know what it does to alert the person who can't hear? That's the noise. It goes for hours. They don't hear it. They just walk around. There's 100 dogs at the front yard. Turn it off. We can't stand it anymore. Where is he? We know it's him. And we're used to it, so I know just to, you know, talk at a very high volume, and it's okay, but going out in public with him, sometimes he just does not realize how loud he is. In the last movie, I said I will never go to a movie with you again, because they live in the middle of nowhere. There's one movie theater, Lord of the Rings was there. We've never read the books, we're not fantasy people, we're like, whatever, let's go give it a try. 20 minutes into it. Yeah, do you or your mother give a shit about any of these characters? Are they speaking Spanish? I can't understand. Can we go now? I'm not enjoying this. I'm like, we have to go now. There's 300 fantasy fans ready to kill you. They're hip for their age. They're good at the computer. That first 8 months, that was rough. Wow, I bet I got over 500 emails from them that just said, is this working? So I would email back, no. They finally quit smoking, and they have smoked since the 1800s. I mean, chain smoking. And my mom was just going to smoke it out. She didn't want to quit. She's like, I'm 60. I'm just going to smoke it out and see what happens. My dad's like, no, we're quitting. And they did quit. But it's been 2 years, I guess, or maybe three, that they haven't had a cigarette. But with my mom, I've never seen anyone so unhappy with a healthy choice. She should do ads for the tobacco companies. Every time he leaves the room, as soon as he dies, I'm lighting a goddamn cigarette. I'm not saying I don't love him, but I am looking forward to having a cigarette. I can certainly tell you that.
Kathleen Madigan, my guest this week. We were talking about Christmas, and I got to thinking about winter. Do comics try to book gigs in, like, Florida, Texas, Arizona, San Diego? I mean, is that an ongoing natural thing to presume?
I don't think until you get to a certain level you even have a choice, but I don't know, because then when you go to those places, you really need to go to the Midwest and the East Coast during the winter, because that's when people go inside.
Right.
Like, comedy's not an outside summer gig, so all of my schedule from January, February, March, April, May, when it would be great to be somewhere warm and cozy, it's usually in the cold. You know, you start out, I'm like in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, like the coldest places that you can come up with. But that's when people will go into a theater and see a show.
Right.
You know, they're especially the Midwest and the East, they're not going in summertime, they're not going in a theater. They're playing softball, blah, blah, blah. So although I would love to do the warm tour. Maybe when I'm old, I can do retirement homes in Florida. Yeah.
As I say, you're right. I never thought about that. People want to go in and have where it's cozy. You could put that in the ad. Coming down to the improv, see Kathleen in her fireplace or something.
Doing my act in a snuggie by a fireplace with a hot toddy. That's when you know I've officially snapped.
What is a hot toddy?
Whiskey and lemon and honey and my grandma gave it to it when we had a cold, like when we were like 10, and it was alcohol. But I mean, that's why you probably felt better, because you fell asleep.
Yeah.
And you slept for hours because you'd just been poisoned. But you'd feel better.
Well, I that's understandable. You're Irish. I mean, come on, that's probably an old family recipe.
Yeah, we have
recipe.
The tolerance. It's genetically. We're genetically prone to doing well with alcohol. That's why I do that joke in my act. I do think DUIs should be based on your nationality, because I can handle a lot more. Like, I have two Asian friends. Forget it. You give them one margarita and they're dancing on a bar. What happened? Like, we're just better at it. That's why I'm offended at that show Shameless that's on cable,
right,
where it's about a bunch of Irish drunks. I don't care if you portray us as drunks, but we're better drunks than that. Like, every episode, William Macy's falling all over the house. We don't fall. Like, yeah, we might be hammered, but we're so good at it, you really wouldn't know exactly how hammered we are.
Right. Well, I'm Irish, so let's get this interview over. I got a place to go.
Yeah,
no, I forgot one more question about Christmas. I forgot to ask you before. What's the big event in St. Louis every Christmas? What's the one thing your sister probably dragged you down to see?
The city, I don't know if you saw, but we were recently ranked the fifth saddest city in America. And then they traded Albert Pujols, so I guess probably now we're the first saddest city in America. Our city never had any money to, like,
operate
do anything.
Or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there were lights up. I don't have any memory of, like, going downtown for any reason. About Christmas at all. I know it's a lame city. It's not like New York where you go, oh, let's go see the giant tree. It's like, oh, the city's broke again. We'd be lucky. We were lucky to have street lights on, more or less like Christmas lights. That would have been, no, we don't. There's nothing.
I can see
nothing. Fantastic.
I can just hear the people over at the St. Louis Tourist Bureau. Oh no, my God, Kathleen's doing another interview.
Well, I had to go do a corporate gig where they were promoting St. Louis, and they said all of your jokes for an hour have to be about you're going to be the spokesperson, but it has to be funny. But you have to trick them to coming in July. Nonetheless, they're going to come to St. Louis in July, where it's going to be a beautiful about 104 with 100% humidity. And I said, you want an hour of positive jokes? I mean, the jokes I do about my city and state are not exactly positive because it's not a positive place. Like, just be honest about what it is. But I managed to do it in a funny way, and I got... Basically, I just told them to just go there and drink. If you just go to St. Louis with the idea of drinking and eating barbecue, you'll have a wonderful time. Just set the bar low as far as your expectations. Don't expect to have a cultural experience. Don't expect to want to be sitting at a Cardinal game in July. It's 7,000 degrees. It's horrible.
I taught him how to download music on the internet. I've never seen my dad that excited about something. And he's totally serious. He's like, this is absolutely marvelous. Are you telling me I can go on his computer and for free get a Johnny Mathis Christmas album? Like, Dad, you could go into a store and for free get a Johnny Mathis Christmas album. He gets so mad when I say stuff like that because his argument always is, well, he's still performing in Las Vegas. I don't know why you make fun of him. I'm like, Dad, I work there twice a year, and when I flip through that magazine, there's a lot of people working in Las Vegas that I thought were dead. A lot of people. The last time I was there, Engelbert Humperdinck was down somewhere. I even said to my parents, I'm like, you're the right age. Would you pay to go see Engelbert Humperdinck? My dad goes, well, I don't know that we would pay, but given some complimentary tickets, I think we'd wander on down there. I'm sure he puts on a good show. How can he? He's 180. I don't understand. Like, all these old guys in Las Vegas, Johnny Mathis, they're all old. You know they don't want to be on stage for an hour. They should just have one show in Las Vegas for $50 called People You Thought For Sure Were Dead. And there's like 10 people, and they all do their best 5 minutes ever. And every person, you're shocked. You're like, Nipsey Russell, are you serious? Anne Margaret comes out and does a little dance, and then Don Rickles does 12 Pollock jokes, and we all go home happy. Somebody's got to fill that Siegfried and Roy theater. You know, I did not think it was... I know, it was horrible that guy got eaten by that tiger. What I did think was funny, though, was that night, the crowd that was there had to be told the show was over. Wow. Sir, what do you want for $55? You just saw a full-grown man get eaten by a tiger, and you're still sitting there waiting on something else to happen. Well, they said it was an hour and a half. That's a bunch of crap. There's one left. Make them do a trick or something. I don't even like working in Las Vegas because I have a gambling problem. And I know if I lived there, I would just be a total addict. It's the video poker. And I know there's casinos here. It's so addictive, though. It's like the crap. If the chair at the video poker machine had been a toilet, I wouldn't even be here right now. I love to gamble. My sister hates it, but she'll go with me to just remind me how stupid it is. She'll follow me around the casino like this horrible black cloud mojo. You're losing all your money. This is stupid. You could have already bought a new purse with all the money and put in a stupid machine. This is a problem. This is just as bad as alcoholism. I'm like, no, I'll argue that because you never wake up after a hard night of drinking and find an extra 10 grand on your dresser. Sometimes you win on this. My youngest sister is the polar opposite of me. Sometimes I really cannot even believe we're sisters. She's blonde hair, blue eyed, the happiest human being, naturally happy, like a yellow lab running at you. Hi! Hi. Hi. So, like, happy. And I never think I'm unhappy till I hang out with her. And I'm like, maybe I need pills or I'm not getting this at all. I mean, just stupid stuff. Like, if my phone rings, my initial reaction to hearing that is, oh, crap. I'm not answering that. Her phone rings, she'll trip over furniture trying to answer it. Hurry up, what if I won a contest? I'm like, what? She spends a lot of time daydreaming. I am very practical, realistic. I don't think I've ever really daydreamed ever in my life. And she's like, well, if you're not daydreaming, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm thinking about what I'm fucking doing. Don't. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have any fantasies, I guess. I'm like, what do you daydream about? And this was her answer. I'm supposed to understand this. Hats. I go, I don't even get that. She goes, well, let's say you met the man of your dreams and you were going to fly to Ireland to have your wedding reception and it was at a castle and they had horses and they let you ride them. What kind of hat would you wear? I'm like, I don't know how you get to the grocery store. I don't. I don't know how you leave the house and somehow at night you end up back in the house. Complete opposite. She's just so happy. And I think, you know what? It's people like her. I've always wondered who's happy enough to answer a suicide hotline. Because you hear those ads every now and then. And I think I'm not a mean person, but I know just because of the facts, I would end up agreeing with 8 out of 10 people. I'd be like, dude, I hear you. I don't even know how you got to the phone. Are you kidding me? I know. I'm hanging on by a thread and I have a job.
You were recently in Denver, right, Kathleen?
Last weekend.
Yeah.
It was a blast. I love that city. That's one of the best kept secrets in America. Everybody thinks it's all freezing and all that. It's really not. And the city is so... Because I travel so much, like I see all the cities that are just in terrible condition. Denver, the mayor, the last time I was there, was in the studio and they said, what are you working on? He's like, oh, I have this, what I've been working on lately, and this is almost verbatim, is this program called One Book, One Denver. And I figured we could all bond as Denverites, read this book that we all choose. It'll be at Barnes & Noble for 15% off, and there'll be a coupon in there from McDonald's for a free Frappuccino. And I was like, wow, you're that caught up. Like, this city is, I mean, talk about extra time to think of that. And then they have a program called Share a Bike, where there's bicycle kiosk out, and you just give it some sort of identification, and you can take the bike wherever you want and just drop it off at another kiosk. And I'm like, how lovely is this city? Do you know how long that would last in St. Louis? Until they put the bikes out. That would be the end of the Share a Bike program. There'd just be some guy going, I guess this ID wasn't real. Right. I don't know. This guy never came back. He must have ridden to California. I don't know where the hell the bike is.
All the bikes would be gone and they'd never come back.
Exactly. Denver's just so nice. And my favorite Irish pub is there of all time, called Nallan's. It's in Larimer Square. And my buddy John Nallan, an old Irish guy, I took a picture of him and somebody on Twitter goes, wait, is that an Irishman holding a glass of water? I go, I know, it's like seeing a unicorn. It's very rare. It's very rare. But it was early in the night. We hadn't officially started drinking yet. And he had quite a ways to drive. So,
well, I was going
to
ask.
I really do love Denver.
I was going to ask you how the altitude affected you, but do you get drunk faster up there, a mile high?
I don't notice. Again, a good Irish drunk, nothing affects us like normal people. I don't even notice the altitude thing when
really?
People comment on it. No, I never have. I don't. I mean, I guess, maybe if I went higher, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, I don't get a headache. I don't need to drink water. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know, but no, it's fine. I don't think you get drunk faster. I mean, I think it's just in people's minds. I really do.
Well, technically, is everybody who has sex in Denver a member of the Mile High Club?
Mm-hmm. I guess so, right? That would make sense. Yeah.
All right. It's a pleasure, as always. It's KathleenMadigan.com for information on our gigs coming up. We love you.
Love you, guys.
Okay. Kathleen Madigan, my guest this week on Foxcast number 4. I'm Sonny Fox. We hope you enjoyed that and be listening again next Thursday. A new show. Won't tell you who it is. Every week's a surprise, but it's going to be good. Thanks for listening.